Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, kicking off a full hour of Penn State football, specifically looking at Penn State-Buffalo, 45-13 Nittany Lions win, improved to 2-0. So we'll look at that matchup. Hear from James Franklin, all he had to say after the game, mostly good. About half good, half not so good in the game itself. Coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue studio this morning. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Before we get into that, though, I did want to make mention, you know, one of our longtime listeners, one of our most loyal listeners, the first guy who's ever recognized me and my name out in public, a guy by the name of Tom Dincher from our area here, passed away suddenly last week. I just wanted to, you know, if you're the praying type or you pass along thoughts or good vibes to his family, he's got a wife and two young children he left behind, was a really easy to let guy, came by. He won the Ask Greg bottle of wine at one point, came by and picked it up with his young son, and really easy to like. And I think his family would just appreciate any good thoughts you can pass their way. And certainly from us here at the Keystone Sports Network, we do the same thing for the Dincher family. But let's talk Buffalo, Greg. And I think, you know, adjustments, I think, are the name of the game here, because Buffalo was doing what we saw happen to this Penn State defense multiple times last year, which came out with a purpose to run the ball and run it well, you know, and they take a 10-7 halftime lead. They're hard to get off the field, which is equal parts their game plan, equal parts maybe Penn State not quite being ready to defend that. A 19-play, 69-yard scoring drive was really the culmination of all this. And I know James Franklin said after half they made some adjustments, came out, got a game swing play, but he wants to see those adjustments happen sooner. And I think Penn State fans would feel the exact same way.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that, you know, they were really good when it came to sudden change after the Cam Brown forced fumble and fumble recovery. They obviously, you know, hit Jahan Dotson for the 28-yard touchdown strike. But after that, I mean, it was quite frankly hard to watch Penn State's offense for the rest of that first half. They just were out of sync. They didn't seem to get any push up front. They weren't able to complete passes, you know, the plays that were called weren't generating yardage. So they have a lot of stuff to figure out. And I didn't know if James Franklin was frustrated by his assistant coaches or by his players or maybe a little bit of both. Yeah. But it came through pretty clearly in that post-game news conference that he feels as if they should be in a place, even though they have a young team, to adjust on the fly better than what they did. And let's be honest, it feels like they didn't really adjust at all, quite frankly. I mean, they just could not get anything going. They were unable to sustain anything in the first half. And yes, they came out much better in the second half. And look, we've seen the 16 and the 17 Penn State teams be very good as the comeback kids. But it's just not a situation you want to be in most years, especially with a young football team like this. So I think you have to give them credit for the way they bounced back in the second half. Yeah. 28 points after halftime. I'm sorry, right after halftime in the third quarter. You know, the John Reed pick six was basically the play of the game as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they end up actually covering the spread, which looked in doubt at some point. And you know what they say, good teams win and great teams cover. So maybe Penn State's better than we thought they were. But
who says that?
Yeah, I don't know. People that use DraftKings, I guess. But anyway, you look at Penn State moving forward, and this is a real test they have on their hands against Pittsburgh on Saturday. I think the Pitt offense is very pedestrian, and I know we'll do a look ahead later this week, but it really needs to be a game that Penn State comes out, and much like the Idaho game, plays for a full 60 minutes as best it can.
And so here's what I thought was interesting. You know, you have this young Penn State offense with a quarterback who in week one was nervous and anxious and excited, and you saw that come through. Then you have a situation like this where it's not really humming for you right away, and suddenly you're on the sidelines watching this 8-plus minute drive. I think that's what it was, eight and a half minutes or mm-hmm. something like that. And all the while, you know, you're kind of thinking, you know, this is not supposed to be happening to us. You know, we're going to do something about this when we get the ball back. And then I think maybe everybody involved starts pressing a little bit then too, which is how this total lack of continuity, this lack of rhythm happens. And they just weren't very effective. And go fast forwarding into the second half, you know, James Franklin, we'll hear, I think he addresses this a little bit later in our show, but said that, you know, some of the issues and the consistency issues that were in the first half were also present in the second half. They just made some explosive plays.
Right.
And I think that's a trade-off most fans would take, but it's, you know, clearly there's a lot of stuff to clean up. And scoring 79 points against Idaho, a totally outmatched Idaho team, we all knew that it wasn't something that you could carry with you for later. Mm-hmm. Maybe this game is, you know, the idea of learning some lessons from it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that if you can take out of this game the things that Penn State should, they'll be just fine. If they leave some of the lessons and things they should have learned on the cutting room floor, then, you know, they're probably going to be in trouble a little bit later on this season because, you know, some of the things that they did from a operation standpoint from, I mean, there's too many times in the first 2 weeks, even in the Idaho blowout, that they had too many guys on the field or, you know, they were trying to make wholesale changes and not the right – the guys didn't end up in the right spot. And I think the other thing too, and we can probably touch on this more a little bit later, but where are you at on the whole idea of let's play, you know, 60 guys and, you know, take the starters off the field? I mean, they've done that forever. It's not like this is a new thing. You know, Penn State would put a second and third string defensive lineman out there even against Ohio State on like the second or third or fourth drive. Yeah. So this isn't necessarily a new thing, but it just feels like to me, Dustin, that they have too many spots where they don't have the guy and they just have a bunch of guys. And I think that is something they have to get fair. I know it's non-conference play, and if you're going to do it, this is the time to do it, but it just doesn't feel like, it just doesn't feel like they have, you know, that top line guy in as many spots as maybe we thought they did entering the season.
I think that's probably true. I think you can still say that, you know, I think they like their safety. That safety, you know, I think they feel like they've got their two guys, but they also want to get Brisker and they also want to get Sutherland on the field. At defensive tackle, you have Antonio Shelton as the starter, but PJ Mustard very, very well might be the guy. We know what's going on in the offensive line. So I think that's probably true. I think from a defensive standpoint, you know, I think you commit to running through a lot of bodies because it's a 60-minute game.
Right.
And sometimes in the short term, there's some pain that comes along with that. But the, you know, the idea of freshness in the third and fourth quarters, especially against a team that you know what they're trying to do to you, I don't totally disagree with it, but I do think that you know, it can put some certain guys in situations that you don't want them to be in. But I do think it's part of a bigger purpose, which is to for everybody to be a little fresher in the fourth.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You take the good with the bad, I guess, on that one. But I think your point is still valid about these situations where you need to kind of make a choice on guys. And maybe that's what will happen a little bit later in the year. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Really good weekend if you're interested in checking it out. Pitt weekend. It's going to be electric up there. It always is. And we'll talk about a little later in the week why I think that electricity is good for both teams. But it might be the last time in a while. So go check out GoPSURV.com. It's a noon kickoff. But you can arrive on Friday. You can leave on Sunday. You can get a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. You don't have to worry about a whole lot except having a good time. It's why we call it the ultimate tailgating experience. You can check it out at GoPSURV.com. The John Reed interception, Greg, I thought, you know, the timeliness of that, it looked like Penn State was going to turn the tide at some point anyway, but when they come out, they string together a decent drive. Ricky Slade puts the ball on the turf on their first drive of the third quarter. Buffalo takes over. They needed that play right then and there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was a particularly good read or throw from Matt Myers, the Buffalo quarterback, but it was also just excellent positioning and a good break on the ball and then an easy pick six. But a huge play in this game. You know, Penn State needed something to ignite everybody and to get the sideline up and running again, to get the fans up and running again, and this was the play.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was just a beautiful read on a ball that, you know, was an ill-advised throw from Buffalo quarterback Matt Myers, who I thought was actually much better than he probably got credit for on Saturday. I mean, he had some receivers wide open. He just missed them. But he, you know, coming into this game, I think we had talked, a couple of times about the fact that they only threw, 10 times in the win over Robert Morris, and they had 240 or so passing yards on Saturday against Penn State. You know, the kid was a good test for this Lions secondary, even if he was 16 to 31, and also, of course, threw the game-changing interception. But, you know, I think that ultimately that play is one that we need to see more of from Penn State's defense. We haven't seen enough of those kind of plays, and I'm not necessarily talking about a pick six. Those are, you know, a couple times a season type of plays, but I'm talking more about just the ability to get in front of passing lanes, jump routes, and be able to cause turnovers. I mean, it's just been something that's been a little bit of a struggle for them at points this year and over the last few, over the last few years. And if they can get that figured out, they're going to be much better for it later this year once Big Ten play begins.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean, you see, sometimes you just can't force that three and out. You can't get off the field sometimes. And certainly that was the case in this game where Buffalo ran 90 plays to Penn State's 46, 22 first downs to Penn State's 14. You know, talk about sort of dominating control of the ball. Would you believe, by the way, that at the end of the game there that Buffalo had averaged 3.2 yards per carry?
No.
Penn State averaged 3.3, which is a separate story. And actually, let me ask you about that now. This running back situation, it speaks to your point about not having the guy. They don't have the guy yet. What do you make of, you know, first of all, the run game as a whole, which in the early going, really throughout this one, there just wasn't a lot of daylight to be found.
Right.
But then the idea of mixing and matching, and we just didn't see a very effective run game at all against Buffalo.
No, not at all. I think that they're still trying to figure out the best way to use those guys in certain situations. I think the other thing too is that Journey Brown looks like the best running back they have at this point, in my opinion. I just think he looks like the most smooth, decisive guy, and he's willing to go in and hit a hole and really be good about getting through to the second level. So I thought Ricky Ronnie shied away from it a little bit, quite frankly. I mean, you talk about stats that are hard to believe when you look at it. You know, I was a little bit surprised just what the run to pass ratio was, and of course my stat sheet's not loading at the moment, but it was a little bit surprising to see just how little they used the running game early, and then when they did finally decide to employ it, to your point, it didn't really go anywhere. So you're not going to win Big Ten games with a rushing attack that looks like this one. So that's something. They have all the talent in the world, but they got to get it cleaned up.
Got to get it cleaned up. Got to figure out what the strategy is there. I talked about it before. It's an opportunity to have this many guys. It's also a responsibility to figure out how to use them. We're not done talking Penn State Buffalo. Going to take a short break. We're going to leave with Jahan Dotson right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.